When it comes to social media, people in developing and emerging countries are continuing to increase their use. But is this necessarily a good thing, considering we now know social media companies have known about the negative effects that their platforms have on the youth of today and have done very little? I'm Skynell Hughes, and on today's edition of 360 View, we are going to look at whether advancements in technology might cause drawbacks for the youth of third world countries. The gap in internet usage between emerging and advanced economies over recent years has narrowed. However, there are still large parts of the world where citizens do not have access or use of the internet. Now, according to Pew Research, only 1 in 4 Indians use the internet or on a smartphone, with sub-Sahara Africa being the least wired part of the globe. Within those countries, the digital divide persists. Income, education, age, and in some areas, gender still defines who does have access to the internet, and those are most active on social media. But is this necessarily a bad thing? Sure, the internet opens up doors for education, commerce, and cultural interactions. But for younger users, social media can have such a negative effect that some parents often question whether the drawbacks outweigh the benefits. Disrupted sleep, constant distraction, exposure to bullies, rumors easy to spread, unrealistic views of other people's lives, and peer pressure are just a few of the problems which are brought on by social media for those in their teenage years and younger. Now, globally, amongst younger people between the ages of 15 and 24 years, suicide is the second most common cause of death. The number of youth who choose to take their life has steadily increased, and it's very hard to think the rise in social media is just a coincidence. Therefore, are those less developed countries with limited access to the internet and social media actually doing the next generation a favor? Joining me to discuss and help find the answers is Welesane Makwe Nikeng, radio journalist and community mental health activist. Thanks for joining me. You know, we know social media has a strong influence in developed countries. But what about those lower middle income countries? What social media platforms are available and how much influence do they carry?
Cameroon is in Central Africa. It's a developing country. And we have all the social media platforms that are everywhere in the world, notably Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, and TikTok, which is growing lately. These are the most popular ones that we have here.
What mental health impacts do they have?
I think that more and more social media it has to do with both positive and negative aspects. So in line with the positive aspects, mental health issues are being handled on the social media, especially by nonprofits, and we have doctors who are also online. So for example, I know some nonprofits like the Veneta Mwengela Foundation and many others who provide support for people who have mental health challenges. And also we have doctors who consult. In my country, there's something called WASPITO, which consults young persons or elderly persons online. Whatever issues you're going through, you can be able to click in and talk to a doctor one-on-one. So positively, I mean, it provides support for those who can be going through mental health challenges or just need someone like a friend to talk to or to connect with. That is a positive aspect. However, on the negative side, social media has come to put a lot of pressure on the younger generation because they see people living the fast life, influencers, and they want to be like them. And so they have this false reality that they see on social media, and they are tempted to imitate or mimic what's being done. And that puts them a lot of pressure, anxiety, it leads to depression because they're not able to meet up. They want to use the latest phones. They want to live a luxurious life, fly all over the world. But that is not possible. And so that has led to a lot of mental health issues like anxiety, depression, fear. And of course, we have other issues that come into play. Also, there's a lot of cyberbullying online because some particular persons have been targeted if you're not liked. And you know, people keep coming after you to body shame you or bully you every time you put up a post. And this has gone a long way to affect the mental health of certain persons in our community. And it is also true that people in our community, you know, sometimes they have developed this antisocial behavior where they're always on their phone. You know, you're sitting with your family and everyone is on their phone. And this goes a long way to affect the mental health of these individuals, because imagine being on your phone all day, you cannot have a normal conversation with your family members, you cannot have a normal conversation with your child or with your husband, and so on and so forth. It goes a long way to strain family relationships and ties. And in the long run, they can find themselves depressed, knowing that they did not did not spend a lot of quality time with their parents or someone they love, and the person passes away, and you realize that you are living in the dream world while the person was physically present there and you weren't, you know, part of their lives. Also, it has led to loneliness. You know, people have become withdrawn. Some people have seen their classmates making it big on social media. They have seen people, you know, living on the fast lane, and that has led them to withdraw from their clique or their cycles, and they're living a lonely or solitary life because they're afraid or they're ashamed that they cannot be able to, you know, make it at their age and so on and so forth. Also, there was an issue of low self-esteem. Like I mentioned before, social media creates this false reality, unrealistic expectations. And so those who think that they cannot be able to make it or who are thinking that they've not made it in life have this low self-esteem where they cannot interact with their peers. They cannot go out because they think that they are too fat, or because social media paints the slim and tiny belly woman as the ideal one. So you who has a round figure or such, you have this low self-esteem. Also, there is over-information on social media that, you know, keeps coming, and sometimes you find yourself overwhelmed with information. And so people go through a lot of mental health challenges. In my community, when we talk about, or my country, we talk about mental health, people think it's just schizophrenia or mental well-being. But there are other issues that come into play when we talk about mental health that people are not aware of. And so I think that we need to, you know, improve on raising awareness about what is mental well-being and other mental health issues that people face. Because when we know that there are different types of mental health issues, then we can be able to address it in a better way.
Does this affect young men or women more?
Actually, I think that women are the most affected, in my opinion, because you know, women are the ones who have that pressure to want to live on the fast lane, or who are vulnerable to cyberbullying, or who are vulnerable to depression and anxiety, seeing their friends going faster. Men who have their own level of depression or their own things they go through, like bullying, of course, is for everybody, not just for women. And I think that women are more predisposed, and they are the most vulnerable when it comes to the issues that we mentioned before. Because first of all, it is the women who are the ones who are looking at this fast lane and this unrealistic expectation on social media, especially younger girls in my community. When they see the influencers, as they are called, you know, driving big cars, living the fast lane, they too want to imitate, and they end up, you know, finding themselves into things that were not necessarily like pornography, or finding themselves, you know, dating bigger, richer men to afford these things, and finding themselves, you know, deceived by people, and they fall prey to so many things. There is this phenomenon that is that is growing in my community called the magic wallet. This one affects mostly the young guys, whereby a marabout, as it's called in my community, will promise you a lot of money if you contact him and give him, and he's going to give you a magic wallet where money multiplies overnight in that wallet. And so many young men are, you know, diving for this, and this has led to so many lives lost, mental health issues. Some people have grown mad, literally, because of this. So it affects men and women in different ways. But generally, I would say women are more vulnerable to cyberbullying, to hate speech, and also they're more exposed to propaganda. They're the ones who easily, because they are gullible, they easily believe things that they said on social media. And at the end of the day, they find themselves in this mental health crisis.
Do you find parents and governments trying to react to this problem, let's say in Africa, for example?
Yeah, in my country right now, let me start from the government. The government is taking a lot of action since 2020 when there was COVID and there was like this influx of information on the media since everybody was home. There was a government communique that came from the Ministry of Post and Telecommunication and the Ministry of Communication to inform the population that there are sanctions that have been put in place for anybody who is perpetrating hate crime, cyber bullying, hate speech, whatever, anybody doing that. Now, there's a law in Cameroon that governs that, because in the past we didn't have that. There's a law that, you know, governs how social media is being used so as to reduce all of these social media vices that we have mentioned at the beginning. Also, there is an agency, ANTIC. That's the agency, ICT agency of Cameroon, National ICT Agency, which actually checks what people are doing on social media. And if you're found guilty of the aforementioned cyberbullying, hate speech, all of those things, you are going to be sanctioned. So people are aware now that they need to be careful. Misinformation, people are aware that they need to be careful with how they misinform people, how they talk to people on social media, the name calling of people from different tribes or different expressions, because in my country, we have the French speaking and the English speaking part. So you need to be careful how you address people, careful how you address people from other ethnic groups, because ANTIC is monitoring. So they have monitoring devices and also ways to track down those who are perpetrators of these crimes on social media. At the level of the family, parents are still ignorant. We all, as a parent, we all are busy chasing money and trying to put food on the table. And sometimes we can be oblivious of what is happening to our children because we are out at their home, they're on their tablets. And sometimes it's just a way for us to get rid of them, because when you come back from work, your child is saying, mommy this, mommy that, you just want them to, you know, hush. So you give them a tablet and they find a place to sit down and they are on it. So I'm thinking that in the long run, this is going to have an adverse effect. Because right now the parents are normally doing so much, majority, to curb the use of social media platforms. But if we do not raise more awareness, there are so many organizations around the country and the government itself raising awareness about the use of social media, the use and abuse of social media, and calling on parents to take action, to not leave your child. She can fall into pornography. She can fall into depression. Overexposure can lead to certain issues. And also there's that cultural aspect where children from my community are exposed to other cultures and they can find themselves, you know, trying to copy or trying to move out of the norms of and the cultural values that we have. And so parents need to sit up, they need to be aware of this and to, you know, try to check what your child is doing, try to be present. And also there are mechanisms or techniques and settings on this platforms where you can regulate what a child has access to, like, for example, YouTube Kids or Netflix Kids and so on. So much is not being done at the level of the family right now, just those enlightened families, but there is still much to be done in terms of having children reduce their access to social media so that they cannot also find themselves going through these mental health issues in the long run that, like we've mentioned before.
Thank you so much, Wellesane Makwe-Nakeng, journalist and mental health activist. Now, after the break, we will continue our discussion and look at how social media is having an impact on the youth in India. Stay tuned to the 360 View with me, Scotty Nell Hughes.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, Why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
I really thought that we were gonna die.
I saw the blood, the bullets, I saw everything.
And I crawled all the way to the right side of the room, and then I hid behind the desk.
Columbine happened 2 years before I was even born. And this has happened again and again and again and again and again. Because people continue to stick with the system.
I sent my kids to school that day like any other day, and only one of them came home.
Basically, we want to make sure that certain weapons that are just too dangerous for regular civilians shouldn't be in the hands of those people.
If we weren't safe at school, we're safe nowhere.
It's just a start, really.
Welcome back. We are talking about social media's impact on mental health in the third world today. Joining me now is Aparna Sanyal, Managing Director, Mixed Media Productions, and founder of The Red Door, a well-known mental health initiative in India. Thanks for joining me. You know, according to data, more than 80% of people do not access mental health care in India for a multitude of reasons. So is mental health being given the proper attention by society and those in power in India?
Well, Scotty, if you ask me, yes, there are a large number of people who suffer, who have mental health problems, but they do not access mental health facilities because there is a stigma. I do not know how much stigma is there in that part of the world, but whatever research I have done and whatever I know, the stigma is global. But yes, in India, it is slightly more because we have a different setup, family setup and social setup. So a lot of people just backtrack or they do not. First of all, it takes a lot of time for them to realize that it is a mental health issue. And once when they realize it, they really avoid going to a psychiatrist. That's the tragedy. That's the irony.
You know, the most common mental health illness in India includes depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and stress. Do you think the rise in social media has caused the number of these cases to rise in India as well?
Definitely, yes. Social media, as well as during the COVID times. And it happened all over the world, but it happened more so in India because of the societal structure as such. And people did suffer during COVID times a lot of anxiety and depression with the work and the offices and the salaries going away. There was more so in India. And a lot of domestic violence cases also came up during that time, if I'm not mistaken. So there is a lot of social stigma and because of social media as such. Because when you see the other person, you see if you're talking about social media and its impact on even the younger people, what is happening is when you see your friend presenting a reel on Insta or on Facebook, what happens is you feel, oh, I'm not doing anything. And what happens, the consequences is that gradually it develops into an anxiety or depression. And once it develops into depression and anxiety, it impacts all your life. Like in every sphere of your life, it impacts. Like your work goes, your relationship goes for a six, and your moods go for a six. So that is all, that's the impact of social media. Unless and until I feel that people have to monitor themselves, people have to gauge themselves, people have to don't have to compare themselves with other people. Like if somebody is doing great, fine. He may be doing great and fine for his own good. But it's not a good thing to compare and go dive into depression or something like that, right?
What should be done, especially with youth, to help combat?
First of all, we have to accept, Scotty. I personally feel, and in all my endeavors, it is always there. We have to destigmatize it. We have to talk openly about mental health, be it anxiety, be it schizophrenia, be it bipolar, be it stress or anything. We have to talk. But yeah, I do agree that people have started talking about depression, anxiety, and stress, but still not about schizophrenia, not about bipolar or anything major. So you see, we have to come out and openly accept, yes, I have a mental health issue. Do we ever shy away from saying that I have diabetes, I'm a person living with diabetes? We don't. Then why do we shy away from saying such things that, yeah, I have a mental health issue? And there are a lot of, we can't say it because if I'm working in an office, you see, and I say, pronounce it that I have, say, bipolar, or I'm suffering from depression, severe clinical depression, the next thing would be that my place in office would be jittery. I do not know whether I would be accepted there or not. If not, then where is my source of livelihood? So a lot of things are interconnected in accepting and destigmatizing mental health issues. So social media as such, the more we come out about mental health issues, I think it will do good to youngsters to accept it. It will do good. Like yesterday only, I shared my story with somebody, some young guy, and he said, it's good that people have started talking about it. So you see, this is a very strong statement to say that people have started talking about it. As the primary thing is that you have to accept, really accept if somebody in his family is down with bipolar or with schizophrenia or with clinical depression or depression. No, he will not. They will not come out. It's very rare that a person who struggles and comes out and says it openly. So I'm all for destigmatizing, and it can only be done by social media, Scotty.
Is the government enacting more regulations the best answer?
Government is doing a lot. Like recently, they launched also the Telemanas, which is a helpline thing. They are doing a lot, but maybe it is because of the society, maybe because of the labels we have been putting to mental health. That takes time to go away. Maybe in next 10 years, we might see a change around. But right now, it is, despite the government can only pass rules and regulations. They can't force a person, right? They can't force the society to accept it. And till society accepts it, till my neighbor accepts it. To be honest, I wonder if I can go to my neighbor and say that I'm suffering from depression. No, I will not do so, because he will not understand what it is. So how do I make him understand, make him, people like them, understand what depression is? Or rather, accept when people say that I won't be coming to office because I'm having some mental health issue. Can anybody say that? No, they'll say I'm having fever. I will not come to office. They will never say I'm facing some mental health issue right now. I'm depressed, so I won't be able to attend office. They will not say so. So till that time, and that can only happen, I think, through the more we talk about it, the more we have conferences about it, the more encouragement we give that yes, and the work culture also changes. I mean, I am all for it, that reserving some seats for serious mental health issue people. Like, they are working under, it's a treatable thing. Like, if you take medicines properly, you can work. You can live a productive life. That's a fact which psychiatrists all over the world say. So why not just openly say that, yes, I have a mental health issue, but I am under medication and I can work. Till that happens, because life is always linked with where you are working, how much money you are drawing. So if life is linked with that, And if the person says that I'm unable to attend office because of my mental health issue and his job goes, then where are we? The axe would fall on him. So it's a lot of things are interconnected with mental health issues, which we have to overcome, which we have to fight it out. I think so.
Thank you so much, Aparna Sanyal, Managing Director at Mixed Media Productions and founder of The Red Door, a mental health initiative in India. Now, like almost anything which exists today, social media can be used for the good and the bad. Platforms like Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok can have those teens who feel isolated and marginalized and give them an outlet they feel safe to socialize with others in. However, at the same time, it can also open up a plethora of opportunities for bullying, as well as body image issues. Social media usage has been directly linked to teen depression, which is a leading factor in the escalating number of teen suicides globally. So with all of these drawbacks, the celebration of expansion into new territories seems like a celebration of one's own decline. Now, globally, social media platforms in 2021 made $153 billion. And the key to increasing profits for these platforms is increased users. Therefore, undeveloped countries who might not have access to clean running water might find themselves with a cell tower before a water filter pump. And it's not just the social media platforms which can find it to their advantage, as expanded governments can also find the new technology profitable, but also to their advantage if they control the information which is allowed to be accessed. Now, I'm sure with the introduction of the radio, the television, video games, etc., there were cries regarding the negative impact on youth. And yet, here we are, still are, living our best lives. Maybe those societies which have been untouched by any of the modern technologies of the 21st century will handle better than those considered most advanced. If not, what they're being told as a step forward might be in reality a step back. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.